Yes, Father, I just declare over my family right now, over my household, Father, freedom, victory from any infirmity, Father. I just praise you, Father, for the victory in Jesus Christ. Father, I just proclaim victory over cancer, victory over diabetes. And Father, I just declare freedom to my household, freedom, Father, just to worship you, freedom, just to walk in the destiny and the path that you prepared for us, Father. I declare peace, shalom, over my household right now. Shalom, shalom, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, Father. And over our extended family, Father, I just declare freedom from false religion, Father. Freedom, Father, from the false religion of Mormonism, Father. Just to fall off of my parents, Father, off their mind, that they'll be free in Jesus' mighty name. And my aunt and uncle, Father, my cousins and their children, Father, I proclaim freedom, Father, right now from the spirit of Mormonism, right now in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray, Lord God. Well, first of all, I've been wanting my family. The Word of God says that you and all your household will be saved. And I believe that. And if I could be saved, I know it's true. So, I used to pray for my mom to be saved, to come to Jesus. And one day she calls me up, hey, guess what? I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And then, my son's mother, Isaac, who some of you guys know, is now currently dating a Muslim. So, don't take that as, I don't like him. I've never even met the guy. But I do know that the Word of God, and from what I understand about the Muslim religion, they do not go hand in hand. So I don't understand how she feels as though it's okay to date him. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I declare and I pray and I declare that the Lord God will shine a light on these relationships and shine a light on the truth. Shine a light on these false religions and false gods, and will not allow the devil to steal them away. In the name of Jesus, whatever it takes, Lord, dreams, visions, whatever it takes, Lord God, that they may stay in line with you and will not be deceived. Amen.
I'm so happy. I got to take this mic. Several weeks ago, although all of you know that I had a stroke, but stroke is still a stroke, and I was really struggling. Wednesday night, you guys that were here prayed for me, prophesied over me, laid hands on me, and oh my gosh, it was a total miracle. I was really struggling with some, what did Joe call it? It was kind of aftershocks of the stroke, and I just couldn't get over it. And I just want to tell you to Christine, because I had this word. When we announced, the day that we announced Wednesday night, that you were diagnosed, you don't have it, you were diagnosed with cancer, that the Lord said, this is going to be the beginning of healing in this congregation. And I didn't give it, so forgive me, Lord, I'm giving it now. And so I'm so excited because, I couldn't do this. Last week even, I just barely, and I was out in the yard for 3 hours yesterday working. I just have energy to burn. And I'm just so thankful. Now they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and I am covered by that blood and the word of their testimony. So this is my testimony that Jesus is the ultimate almighty healer. Amen.
And Father God, I just come to you and I just pray the healing of depression that has run throughout our family and the anxiety for my daughter Shaheen. So when she walks through that door, that will fall off of her for the rest of her life, Father God. That she will be free and she will know that you are the ultimate healer, Lord. Father God, we pray for cleansing of my wife's body, Father. cleansing from head to toe, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Also, thank you for healing of my son, Kate. What an awesome young man, Father God. You have set his feet to worship and to live for you, Father God. We just thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Just praise you, Father, that you do above what we ask, think, or can imagine. And all that you want is for us to believe your word and your word only. So we stand on your word. And I thank you that all addictions of anything that my family's on, I know it's casual drinking. They're not drunkards, but I ask and decree and declare that they be set free from alcohol, Lord. It's not good. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And those that are deceived thereby are not wise. So, Father, we don't need the old wine here on earth when we've got the new wine in us. We've got everything we need within us. We've got Zoe life in us. We've got resurrected power. We have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we know how to pray perfectly according to your will. And when I ask this for my whole family, Lord, and my brothers and Eileen, Father, that they desire the baptism of the Holy Ghost and get on fire for you, and that you would be first in all their lives and everyone in my family to where they will only want your best, which is you. And we just give you all the glory and praise, Father, that this is a decree that's going to stand forever, and that we are redeemed, and we did have Jubilee yesterday. When was it? It's gone so fast. We're past Jubilee now, and God's saying he's going to do everything that he promised. Health, prosperity, wholeness, and perfect liberty in his love and peace. Amen.
I just agree with Marie, and I speak freedom for generational curses in my in-laws' lives. Father, that the sins of alcoholism and drug addiction are stopped dead in their tracks. That the damage that drug addiction and alcoholism has done, not just spiritually, but physically, will be resolved, will be free. That the eyes that have been blinded will be opened up to see. That you are the King, that you are free. You are freedom. Speak over sexual sin and addiction to pornography, Lord. And I say freedom. Freedom over that in the name of Jesus. Freedom. I speak to all eyes in my family to be opened up to the love and the freedom of Christ. And that all ears be opened up in the name of Jesus. I'm free. Thank you.
Did you hear the ocean's roar when the people rose to sing on Jesus Christ, the risen one? Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the ocean's roar when the lost began to sing out, Jesus Christ, the risen one? Thank you.
The anointing in here is so strong. And when we were singing this last song, I had just walked in a few minutes before. And as we were praying, the anointing of the Father just impressed upon me as not rain. He's bringing down fire. And the anointing, the oil of anointing and new freshness. But when he kept saying, release, release. And God is releasing the healing for the cancers, for the liver disease, for the joints, for the muscle debilitation, for the deafness, for those who cannot call upon God is calling it done. And right now he's telling you to receive it because he is releasing the healing and the anointing for that fresh fire to be who God has brought you to this place to be, to go on to the next phase.
Father God, we just thank you for being such a good, good daddy, God. You're a good daddy. You pulled us out of the heat pile, God. You pulled me out of the heat pile. Right now, I want to stand in the gap for my family, nieces, nephews, for Lori's family, for Nathan, for even the youth of this church, God. We just call you in remembrance of your word, that when you spoke it, it does not come back void, Lord. That those seeds that were planted in the spiritual, in these kids, Father, that they would be watered, that you would put people in their lives, in their work, in their school, that they would clearly see good and evil, and they would see evil for what it is. And they would see you for who you are, God. That you are a good, good daddy. And we thank you that you are the Redeemer, Lord. We thank you that you're a father of many chances. We thank you that we have no condemnation in you. We thank you that the enemy is the defeated foe. That he is the defeated foe. All he can do is roar. So I just claim the salvation of our youth. In Jesus' name.
Father God, right now I declare over the generational curses over my family, my extended family. I break the generational curse of gambling. I break the generational curse of alcoholism in Jesus' name. I break the generational curse of self-sufficiency in Jesus' name. Open eyes, open ears. The salvation of my family will be done in Jesus' name. They will hear you, they will see you, and they will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
I just want to thank you, Lord, publicly for the wonderful change you've made in our home, in my husband's life, Lord God, the healing that he had in his back, God. And I decree and declare and thank you for the healing that he's going to have complete restoration in his kidneys, God. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to make my sons single-minded, Christ-minded, and that all the things of the world, the money, the girls, the cars, all of those things will fall away and there'll be one thing they follow, and that will be you. Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us. We thank you for what you did on the cross. And I love you, and I decree that my family will walk in your ways all the days of their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. Any more? We can do this all day.
Father, I just thank you that you are breaking the curse of fatherlessness in the name of Jesus.
Glory.
through my bloodline and promiscuity through my bloodline, Lord God. Father, that there would have a purity of heart and spirit and sexuality, Lord, the way you made and created them to be. Father, I speak life over my children. I speak life over my grandchildren, Lord God. And Father, I thank you that you have set this captive free, Lord, and I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
I just am in agreement with what my husband said earlier. Freedom in my family from addiction, alcohol, and drugs, especially my siblings. God, I just ask that you would also free my family from strife. And just, I just ask for healing in relationships, God. And I ask for healing in myself, Father. God, that my ears would be open, Father, that I could hear clearly, Father. God, I just thank you for this, Lord. In your name.
Did you guys know what, like, this weekend is? But I'm just guessing that, you know, after 430 years of slavery in Egypt, that the night that they were set free, that some of the Hebrews were just a little excited about that. Hey, did you see the Holy Spirit kick me out from behind the pulpit? Did you see that? Yeah, I think it's happened before, but it's been a while. That was interesting. Well, I was going to preach and teach on Passover, but it already happened. So, and the band and through Matt, I mean, you know, in case some of you are wondering, this is more of what an ecclesia type gathering is right here. It's taking the things that you know, you learned, that you heard from God, and decreeing it and putting it into practice and into the atmosphere and legislating those things. But I did want to, Christine, would you still like to share? I had asked after my wonderful message on Passover, or in the middle of it, I was going to ask Christine if she would share on her healing progression here. And so I'll be quiet and let her share, and then after that we're going to take communion together. You want the stand or you want to hold it?
Okay, it's changed from what I planned to say to what happened this morning, so if you can bear with me. Cherie, can I borrow your Bible? Do you have a Bible? Okay. Who has a Bible? Okay. Anna. Hold on just. Anna. Can I borrow your Bible? What? It's a girl's Bible. Thank you. Thank you very much. Also, Richard, were you supposed to release something this morning? Okay. Okay. Were you supposed to release something this morning? I think you were supposed to release something this morning. You were supposed to declare and decree something. The Lord was speaking something to you, and I think you're supposed to say it. Sorry.
There is so much to release. It's, I want the curse and everything released off of me and my family too. And I want them to see the stuff that I've been seeing, and they have no clue. And I had no clue what I've been seeing and feeling. And I contain it, and I don't express it to them yet like I should, because I'm still holding on and letting go at the same time. So I keep falling back and falling in, falling back and falling in. And today was awesome. I've never seen the church rock like this. Matt really did was bringing it. I could feel it through him, through Russ's guitar. Brenda saying hi, this first thing to me this morning we pulled up. It's pretty amazing. Man, it does feel like family here. And I just kept feeling, I'm glad I'm back. And I love Jesus, the Lord. And I'm going to have Joe baptize me in his pool someday. So the weather's starting to warm up, but we're going to do it. Is your pool ready? There it is. That's, yeah, that was it. Yeah. Yes. I declare freedom over my family. Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Anna, can I borrow your Bible? Do you have your Bible? What? Oh, sorry. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so I almost feel like I'm bringing everybody down because we went from this crazy, you know, outbreak of the Holy Spirit. What I want to do, and I really feel the Holy Spirit leading me into, is it's one thing to declare and decree, right? And it's one thing to do that, and we all need to do that. However, how do we receive? So what I want to talk about today is my testimony and how I am receiving healing. My journey started on October 9th, 2015. I got a tap on the shoulder that the path that I was on was short. We got a call from, bear with me, we got a call from the doctor who had performed a biopsy on me, that I had been diagnosed with cancer. Now, I don't ever say I have cancer. Sheree pointed this out. Don't ever say you have diabetes. Don't ever say you have cancer. Don't ever say you have an autoimmune disorder. You don't have it. It's not who you are. And once you say you have it, you're claiming it. And I'm not claiming cancer. Cancer is not mine. It's from the pit of hell. But the medical community will tell you that you have it. So again, October 9th, got a tap on the shoulder. The path you are on is short. We know the outcome of cancer, right? Cancer does not lead you down a path of life. So after going through all of the diagnostics, you know, the MRI, the biopsy, going to meet with the oncologist, I had some choices in front of me. And my experience with chemotherapy is that it is a path that I have seen personally lead to death. Cancer or chemotherapy is a known carcinogenic. So there is no condemnation for anyone that's received chemotherapy. I believe God can work through all modalities of healing. for this, for me, I know the Lord told me, do not do chemotherapy. So I chose a different path. Now, the word says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The operative, well, actually all of that is operative. I am the way. Now, who said that? Jesus said that. So Jesus is saying, I am the way. Now, what is a way? It's a path, right? It's a path. So as I was trying to decide, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm walking her dog. And this is maybe a week or so after Crystal had gone to the oncologist with me and with Scott. And anyway, I had all of these things floating around. And it's like, God, what path do you want me on? And walking the dog. And the community that we live in, there's a sidewalk. And the Lord just really highlighted down as far as I could see on this sidewalk. And he said, the path that I'm going to lead you on is as sure as that sidewalk in front of you. I don't have to figure out, okay, where am I going with the dog? There is a path that I walk with our dog, and it would be the same with my healing. The word says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered. So I had a choice to make, and at that point I decided I'm not going down the path that leads to death. I'm going to go down the path of life. So there were some practical things that go along with that. I didn't know, you know, what does that look like? Do I ignore it? Do I do chemo? Do I do partial treatment? Didn't know. So as I started meditating on what the Lord was leading me to, there were several scriptures that he really highlighted for me. There's one, and I don't have the address. I'm sorry. I have it written down over here. So if anyone needs it, I can give it to you. But the word says, cast aside all filthiness and receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, there's, I'm a little distracted by a cutie over here. anyway, so there's an engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Now, we are made up of three parts. We're made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. And my body was having this manifestation of a tumor right here in my breast. Your soul does the bidding of your mind, and it moves into your body. Anything that manifests in your body typically is a good indicator that something's going on in your soul, man. Now, when you're born again, your spirit is regenerated. It is brand new. You are a new creation. That's where that transference takes place. It's in your spirit, man. However, your soul, man, needs to be regenerated. So we're given a promise. If you cast off all filthiness and receive the engrafted word, it is able to save your soul. So if you can work on what's going on in your soul, it will manifest in your body. So that's how you can receive healing. Now, what does that mean? Well, for me, really started meditating on the passage where Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branch. So that just leapt off the page. It leapt out at my spirit. And I knew that was a rhema word for me. So what I started doing was really, I studied vines. I studied branches. And it's a really interesting thing. If you've not, for those of you that like planting and, you know, gardening, you understand the root system. You understand all of this. And we know that fruit comes. Where does fruit come from? Does it come from the vine or the branch? It comes from the branch, I believe, right? Okay, tomatoes, all of that, and trees. So I really started meditating on Jesus being the vine, and I'm the branch. Now, when you think about a plant, a tomato plant or a cherry tree or whatever, I just had this image that it would be really strange if you saw branches of tomato plants running around. Oh my gosh, I got to get food. I got to get water. What, how am I going to do this? If they were broken off from the vine or from, you know, the stalk that they were grown out from, that doesn't happen, right? What happens when you prune a tree or you prune a plant? What happens to that clipping? It dies. Is it able to produce fruit? No. So how does it produce fruit? It's connected to the vine. Or to, yeah, that's right. It's connected, right? So that's the key for me. So I really started meditating on that and that alone. How I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to do anything to receive healing other than what he told me to do. I don't have to go out and research. I mean, he might lead me to research. He might lead me to do certain things, but I'm not the healer. And that took all of the burden off for me. So with that in mind, I just meditated on the vine. I meditated on that connection and any word that he would give me. And I'll tell you something. You all know this. This word of God is Jesus Christ's DNA. This word of God, we're told, is able to save your soul. It's able to save your soul. Now remember, spirit, soul, body. In order for your body to heal, you have to get your soul healed. So this, I knew, was my word. He gave me different scriptures. He's given me a path to walk on. And it would be different for each person. I don't know what your path is, Cindy. I don't know what your path is, Cherie. I don't know what anyone's path is unless the Lord tells me to go give a word. And sometimes we get those words, like Cherie gave to me this morning, just saying, hey, you're heading in the right direction. You don't always get it. Thank you so much for sharing that, Cherie. But he will often give us signposts, hey, you're headed in the right direction. So that's what he has done for me. That's what he's doing for me. Anna, can I borrow your Bible? It's up here. Is this it? Okay. The reason I keep doing that, you guys think I'm goofy. I am goofy, by the way. But I'm intentionally goofy sometimes. Everything that's in this Word of God, is it going to be done in the future? It's done. So for me to keep asking Anna for her Bible, she's already given it to me, right? So thank you for your Bible. It made a good object lesson. And I just share that to say anything that's in the Word of God, anything that's in the Word of God, he's already done it. He doesn't have to go do it again. Jesus Christ is not going to be crucified again to nail cancer to the cross. He's not going to be crucified again to heal diabetes. He's not going to be crucified again to overcome addiction, to overcome anything that you might be diagnosed with. And by the way, a diagnosis, it's a name. And, you know, on the one hand, I've read where people have written, they were grateful, and just go with me on this until you hear the end of what I'm going to say. They were grateful that they were diagnosed with cancer. Well, hold on. The reason they were grateful is that they received it as a tap on the shoulder that the path you are on is short. So whether it's diabetes, whether it is cancer, whatever it is, all you've gotten is a signpost that the path you are on is short. Because the Word of God again says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Where does the way lead? Where does the truth lead? To life. To life. All of the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, one other thing I want to add is that I really feel, and this again is my journey. I don't say this for anyone else. I really feel the Lord told me, you will not be miraculously healed. Now, I would have loved to have come up, had somebody lay hands on me, and boom, that tumor's gone. Would have loved it. However, I will share this with you. Scott and I have prayed for people before, as I know you all have. I had an uncle that had a tumor about the size of his fist in his throat. Scott and I laid in, not a spirit-filled believer, just he loved God, but he didn't believe in healing. Scott and I laid hands on my Uncle Charles. My Uncle Charles went in maybe a week or two later for surgery. The tumor was gone. It was gone. He was miraculously healed. Now, the follow-up to that is this. He kept making the statement, God must have something big planned for me because he chose me for healing. Because God doesn't heal everybody today. That was his belief system. So within probably 6-8 months, my Uncle Charles died. But he didn't die of the tumor. He was a woodworking guy, and we think that he inhaled so many, and he didn't wear the mask. He was, in the day and age before, OSHA and everyone made us aware that you should be wearing masks if you're doing woodworking. We think that's what he died of. We think. We don't know. But we know it wasn't cancer. Now, the reason, and then I had another uncle, Uncle Larry. We did the same thing for him. He had, I think, liver cancer. At any rate, he was healed. He had gone the traditional route, wasn't working. We prayed for him, and he was healed. But my Uncle Larry passed away about almost 2 years ago, something like that. At any rate, the reason I'm sharing this with you is that these were believers, right? These were believers. And I really believe, and it took me the longest time to really get my mind around this. Lord, you healed them. Why did they die? And I really believe what the Lord showed me is that they had been given a chance. And this doesn't, I'm not meaning to bring condemnation to anyone who's ever had these experiences. They were given a tap on the shoulder that the path they were on was short. And the word talks about how if you, if your house is swept clean and you don't replace it, you have 7 more that can come back. And it would be far worse. So I really believe what the Lord showed me is that after these healings, my uncles, and they were wonderful men. They weren't in sin. I mean, they were good, church-going people. They loved God. They were miraculously healed. They did not go through the process. They did not go through the renewing of the mind. They did not receive the engrafted word to save their soul. Therefore, they didn't replace anything in the house once it was swept clean. So for me, and it all kind of came together, for me, once the Lord told me, you will not be miraculously healed, I'm grateful for the path that I've been on. It's really had to restructure the way I look at things. I've had to restructure my eating. And it would be different for each person. But that was the path that I'm walking on. And the path that I'm walking on, I am following Jesus. I have his DNA, this vine that I envision, and it's almost, it comes back to me quite often, is that I have my arm hooked up to the vine, and that is the natural chemotherapy. And what that is, it is the word of God. Whenever I declare and decree and release the word of God, often Scott and I will be talking, and in the middle of a conversation, I'll say, I will live and I will not die. And he agrees with me, and it's kind of weird, kind of kooky, but They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And part of the declaration and the decreeing, yes, it goes up into the heavens, but I believe it also, once you declare and decree, you're declaring your path. And it's a process. You're declaring and decreeing the steps that you are ordered or that have been ordered for you in advance. So that's what I have for you. Thank you. There you go.
Yes, that's okay. Push the button on it. Okay, yeah.
Okay. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Joe, I think, he had planned to talk about Passover. I don't know how much he's going to go into it. But we know the process that they were ordered to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, right? Everybody knows that story. How did they apply it? With hyssop, right? Do we today go out and slaughter lambs and put the blood on the doorpost?
No, and thank God we don't have to do that. Wow.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Jesus was the final atonement, the past, the present, and the future, as just declared and decreed. So the reason I bring that up, and I forgot to say this, I'm so sorry, is today what we do, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, right? We know the blood has been shed, and the word of their testimony. That's part of the key of receiving. Do you know what our hyssop is today? Anyone? How do you apply the blood of the Lamb? Anyone? It's your tongue. It's your tongue. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You have to declare and decree it. Your tongue is the hyssop. You speak the blood of the Lamb over yourself and the word of God.
Amen. Amen. What's that? I don't really know. I don't know the details about that. Let me just share something really quick, and then we're going to take communion together, but we're going to do it a little bit differently, and then I'll just have you share, too, if you don't mind, about that. But I just want to read, because something, we read things in the Word over and over again, and sometimes, I don't know why it is, but we kind of read something, but we don't ever really pay much attention to it, and you just kind of read past it. Well, when I was reading the Passover story again, especially Exodus chapter 12, where the Lord instituted this as a feast, as a divine appointment, there was a couple things that jumped out at me. And he says, I will go, once you apply the blood to the lintel and the two doorposts. Now, that had to be done for the occupants inside to be safe. Didn't matter who you were. I mean, if you were Hebrew and you didn't apply it, the firstborn's dying. But once it's applied, verse 12 says, for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And then this is what jumped out at me. And against all the gods of Egypt, all the idols, all the false gods and idols that we have erected from the world, God was going to strike those. Then he didn't stop there. He said, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over, and no plague will befall you. to destroy you when I strike the land. Not only did he keep people safe from death, you know, death is future for us that are still alive, right? Death is future. But he said, when the blood is applied, I will come against all the gods and all the idols, and you will be safe from all of the plagues. When we were declaring and Matt was prophesying things and we were declaring things out, a lot of those things were the plagues. That we don't have to receive those things. You know, we can decree things, but we need to walk out the things that we're decreeing. Not decree them and then just go back to living how we were living. Walk out what God is speaking to us. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, and he speaks this specifically from Luke chapter 22, before he instituted the Last Supper, communion, whatever word we want to use, he said that he really desired to eat the Passover meal with his apostles. But then he said that he wasn't going to eat or drink this again until it's complete, and I'm paraphrasing because this is what he meant, the complete manifestation in the kingdom. And then he instituted something new, because just a few hours, the old covenant was going to be done away with and a new covenant was erected. And in this new covenant, that's when he instituted with Passover the cup, the fruit of the vine representing his blood, the bread representing his broken body. That we can receive everything that God has made available to us in the kingdom through his broken body and his blood that was spilled. The blood of Christ, I just love the passage that says the blood of Christ is so powerful, it can cleanse our conscience. There's nothing except drugs, and they're temporary, to kill the conscience from guilt and shame and regret and all of these other things. But the blood of Jesus. Now, I don't believe that the cup's going to turn into the blood, nor the bread turning in, but it is a type, it is a symbolism, and it is a sacrament that grace, the grace of God and God's powerful enablement can come and flow through. So I want to encourage you, I'm just going to open these up, and then Matt's going to share something here, and then we're not going to do it typically, I would just, like we normally do it, if you can just come up and just grab the elements and return to your seat and take them with your spouse, with your family, with somebody else, join together with somebody and just go ahead and take them together. So Matt shared something with me that I just thought was so awesome and just fit right in line with that and what was happening today.
I love it when the Holy Spirit's speaking in stereo, because as Joe's sitting there saying that, I'm not over here texting, by the way, I'm listening to what God was saying. And as he's saying that, I'm pulling up Matthew 26, 28 before the words are ever coming out of his mouth. Because I believe a lot of times we take communion and we take it as a solemn reference and an honor, and it's somber. And I believe that the Lord is saying, this is the New Living Translation, but it's Matthew 26, 28. And he says, "For this is my blood, which confirms, accomplishes, and seals the covenant between God and his people."
Hallelujah.
"This is my blood, the blood of the promise. The whole ordinance is significant of the completion of the atonement.
Lord,
I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So we're going to just, everything that you declared, everything that you spoke out, all you're doing right now is you're sealing it and you're confirming it with the elements. Amen? And that's going to be a rejoicing thing. Amen? Let's stand. And as we sing, you guys just feel free to come. And if you need to take a minute, just take when you want. and declare that this, what you proclaimed, what you prophesied, is sealed and done in this moment.
To the King who is coming to reign, glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Let's sing that again. The King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus. The key.